Thanks for coming to another Asian Pop Radio podcast. If you like what we do, we hope you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for Asian Pop Radio and do rate and review because that helps us out heaps. You can download our app free via the App Store on Android and iOS or head to our website, asianpopradio.com.
This is Jeanette and Jay John, Asian Pop Radio. Tell me what you think of it.
This is the Jeanette and Jay John show on Asian Pop Radio. Sorry, and we're sniffing coffee beans to stay awake because we're all tired.
Coffee beans. That's
can
me.
Can I have one more smell?
Absolutely.
It's really nice.
It. Do a lion.
Yeah, that's the stuff.
Oh, it's good. Brown gold.
You know we talk about coffee a lot on Asian Pop Radio.
Can you not do that to my coffee?
We're just manhandling
nice.
Your coffee.
Where'd you get it? Can we give him a plug? The Beanery in Emporium. Boy, is it good. So, wow, so you have to buy 3 kilograms of coffee before you get a 250-gram coffee free.
That's apparently.
Could you be bouncing off the wall, wouldn't you? Amazing. Hey, welcome to Asian Pop Radio, the Jeanette and Jay John show.
Thank you.
Ironically, Jeanette's not with us today, but Juby is, and Robert is.
Jeanette.
So that's handy.
How dare you?
And we mentioned earlier on we're going to be having a chat
How dare you assume my name and identity?
Wow. Gee, tough crowd. we're going to be speaking to, right now, a comedian who is here, amongst other things, as part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Shows on from the 7th of April to the 9th of April. Diana Nguyen. Hello. How are you going?
I am good.
We're very excited
Welcome.
To have you in the studio.
Thank you.
What an opportunity we have today. Can you tell us a little bit about your background? Did you grow up here in Melbourne?
Yes, born and bred Australian Vietnamese.
Yeah.
Second generation. Mum came in a boat. That's the most exciting thing she's ever done. And
Do you ever try to send it back?
No.
Because mums can be like that.
Yeah, no, we keep her in the house and get locked and say, make sure the door's locked. So, yeah, that's mum. my background pretty much.
Cool. We've been tempted to start a show centred around life in Dandenong. Mm-hmm. For some reason, like lately, quite a few of our interviewees have grown up in Dandenong.
Yep.
I grew up in Narre, so not too far away.
No, not far.
What was your favourite part of growing up in Dandenong?
Well, I'm from Greater Dandenong.
Springvale. Wow.
Oh my God.
Yes. So yes. Vietnamese community, Springvale, right. Like a little Saigon. My greatest memory living in sort of Greater Dandenong would be boys.
Springvale. So you studied a lot.
All of them.
I went to a Catholic girls' school, so right. There weren't any boys.
Yeah.
So that was my teenage years, boys. but currently in Dandenong, if more specific, I am running a free drama program for young people.
Nice.
So this is my big, good way for any young people living in Dandenong. It's a free program run from Melbourne Playback. It's creating a script from young people's stories and performing it in June for Emerges Writers Festival.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so there you go. Hidden one.
That's so good.
Do you ever visit the Danny Market? Because I did have a question about jam donuts.
Yeah.
But I think it's ruined now.
No, people do line up for jam donuts wherever.
Yeah, well,
I went to school in Preston and there's a line at the jam donut. Mm. Like, I don't get it.
Apparently they're really good. Yeah. The really sad thing is there was one in Footscray. They had a good guy.
Yeah. The Olympic donuts.
Yeah.
At the train station.
But he closed down.
Do you know what
he retired?
They actually gave him a new building and everything.
Oh,
they did.
And then like he was only in the new building for 12 months. I think he really liked the old caravan and he felt like life was just too different. Because he had specifically talked about the fact that he, you know, that was his life. He didn't want any more than his jam donut truck and that's what he was gunning for. So, wow, jam donuts. Like who would have thought?
I want one now.
Yeah. My thing's a Nutella donut. I'd much prefer a Nutella donut.
I'm with you.
Your talents are incredibly diverse,
yes.
Including but not limited to being a writer, producer, a director, theatre maker, guest speaker, drama facilitator, MC, performer. What came first for you?
An actor.
Yeah?
Yes. Been acting in Australia for 11 years now, and I wasn't getting the roles that I wanted because of my possibly the colour of my skin. There's not many Asians on TV. So I just thought, you know what? What can I do where I'm not taken off stage and I can just talk and just be me?
Mm.
And that's where being a comedian came in doing
and
stand-up.
And sort of more creative control over the situation?
Yeah,
or?
Being control. Like, I'm a theatre maker, so I make my own shows and stuff, but it's more work, I find, compared to being a comedian where you just stand up with a mic. There's less, you know, tech, less props. It's just you. And I just thought, let's do a show, and I create this show called Naked, just being me without any character or layers and just being real.
Right.
Yeah, so that's
which
where
is a complete really contrast cool. to everything else you do then, I guess.
Yeah, well, when you play an actor or a character, you are putting, you know, you're wearing costumes and you're making yourself into someone else. Mm. And this time I'm like, let's just see what Dinah does.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
But that's cool. That's really just putting it out on the line, isn't it? Because when you are a different character, when you're playing a different character, you can really just go to town and not be too careful and really put your own spin on who you think this other person might be.
Yep.
But then when it's you up on stage, it's all about you, then you're quite vulnerable, right?
Yeah, that's it. I'm pretty much, well, there's an alter ego of Diana. Yep. Like, you don't want to give the real Diana. Because that could cost us more money. But you do have yourself, but an alter ego, so you can protect yourself.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
Fantastic.
From the hecklers.
I was going to say, hecklers. Do your family ever go along? Do they ever heckle?
My mother is my biggest heckler.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because she's really involved in the show? Or?
Yeah, I did a show at the Dandenong Drum last year.
Oh,
180 people.
Yep.
And I was doing my set, and my mum started yelling at me on stage. And I was like, yep, that woman created me, and that's why the joke's half about her.
Oh, wow. I don't want to take the limelight off you for a bit, but I have also done a show at the Drum.
Oh, great.
Back in the day when it was just a town hall, and it was a baby show, and I came first quite often. I was a rather attractive baby.
Yeah, you were the baby pageant?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, frequented the baby pageants.
Bring it out.
Oh, I was on the circuit, yeah.
Little sash.
I'm pretty sure my mum still has those sashes and awards at home somewhere.
So the pictures will be uploaded later tonight.
Yeah, we might have to try and find that. Yeah,
maybe photos of all of us.
That could be an interesting thing. Maybe a bit of a cross, like a collaboration between a baby show and a comedy show.
That's it.
Yeah. Do they still do baby shows?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah?
Yes, at the local shopping malls.
Right.
Or online. Bonds were having a thing.
Yeah. That's commercial way of getting people to like Bond stuff.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, you've actually done quite a bit of TV work, some extras work.
Yes.
Can you share with us some of those roles? I was pretty excited to see on your website that you had a role on Upper Middle Class. Upper Middle Bergen,
that's
right?
That's correct.
Because I love that series. It's so good.
Yeah.
What was your role there?
A nurse.
Okay.
I had probably a 30-second role.
Right.
On that. It was a bit part.
Yeah.
So I had some lines. Yeah, that was fun. Got to meet the cast. I don't think they remember my name, though.
But you made it.
Yeah,
I made it there.
I did. I was on Underbelly for 20 seconds.
Nice.
Were you a dead body or were you actually someone?
No, I was a waitress hiding in the freezer.
Oh, what?
My restaurant was getting robbed.
Right.
And so I ran to the freezer thinking that was the safest place to hide.
Yeah, I mean, it would be my first go-to, but, you know, that makes sense.
Well,
it's like a panic room, really.
It is. Yeah. But they found me in there. So it didn't really work out. what else? I was on Please Like Me.
Okay, yes. Cool, great.
I was the Vietnamese waitress.
Hey, right. I'm seeing a theme.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
It's about 20, 30 seconds that I'm on for. but, yeah, my biggest stint was on Q&A.
Yeah.
That was 60 minutes of live TV.
Wow, yeah.
Stomach ulcers after the show was done.
I'm assuming that the audience weren't there to ask you hard-hitting questions, though, were they?
No.
Yeah.
It was at the Dandenong Drum.
Oh, was that the drum?
Yeah, it was a special ABC.
That would have been quite soon after it got renovated then, wasn't it?
Yep.
It was 2012?
Yes,
yeah?
It was. So, it was Peter Reith, Sophie Mirabella.
Right.
Like, there was a hot,
you had some competition
stuff.
For funny people, didn't you?
Yes.
That's Sophie Mirabella,
Yeah, I know.
Jokes that we had there.
It was so fun, though. It was so fun watching her.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like
it's
watching
a different
Wizard
type
of
performing, isn't it?
It is. It's. It feels like she had like some cult following behind her, and she had an entourage of people wearing all black clothes.
Okay,
wow. So it kind of like fitted her. Like they were like, they felt like they were crows following her.
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
Oh
I was like, you're like Wizard of Oz.
Wow,
it did feel like that.
In a good way, right?
No.
I mean, she's the politician. She probably has a man behind a curtain, like telling them what to say as well, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
This is the Jeanette and Jay John Show on Asian Pop Radio. We're still with Diana Nguyen in the studio.
So the Aussie entertainment industry in the past has been hard for people of colour.
Hmm.
Is it getting easier for talented performers of different backgrounds to get noticed and to not have to partake in only stereotypical roles, or are there still challenges?
There's still challenges. I think we're trying to improve it, you know, year by year or decade by decade. And that's why I create my own content.
Right.
So that I have work and I can say I'm an actor, writer, you know.
Of course.
So that my stories represented and stories of young people, you know, from second generation Australians can have some kind of their lives resemblance on TV. But yeah, it's hard. It's harder in America as well. Even though they've got a bigger industry in America, it's hard for colour people, even worse for Asians, to get represented on TV.
Well, they had a movie with, it was like all Asians, but then the main character was white.
Oh, there you go. Oh, wait. Yeah.
This is a new movie with...
we got his name. Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt Damon. Yeah,
that's
right.
Yeah. Matt Damon.
But then again, the new movie that's just had its preview, the one that's set in Japan.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson playing an Asian character.
Yeah. Well, even in the Oscar-winning award, what's her name from that Hawaii movie? Oh, she was in La La Land. I forgot her name.
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone was cast as a Chinese Vietnamese woman in Hawaii.
Right.
When she's clearly a blonde.
Yeah.
You know?
So, she's basically like half or a quarter, but even then it's
and
not,
like, I think
nothing.
These things are fine if it's only half the time, but then sometimes just like casting someone in a role that traditionally was a Caucasian role perhaps and just, you know, mixing it up that way. But it seems to be always just going one way and not both ways.
That's
like,
it.
It's a shame.
Well, that's why there's web series and YouTube has been the home for young Asian people
to
make content.
Or even locals like Chonny and stuff like that, which have really break down some stereotypes. Yeah. All right, let's talk comedy. Where did you get started with that? And does your material stem mostly from family, friends, experiences?
I was pretty funny when I was growing up. I was pretty funny. And then in 2011, my girlfriend and I decided to do a show called Fee and Me, which is based on our growing up with Vietnamese refugee parents or our mums. And we got four and a half stars on Health Sun.
Nice.
And the reason is because there was nothing like this on TV.
Yeah.
So we've been compared to Wogs at Work, Kumar's on 42nd Street.
Oh, yeah.
So Vietnamese Australian family dynamic where a mother's love is so suffocating, like no girlfriend, you know, no going out. If he's hanging out with another friend, it's like bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we did that. And then I've gone to California with this show, performed her, but I just felt like I just want to just do me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But at the same time, so many stories there about people from that situation and local Vietnamese families because, we have the biggest Vietnamese community outside of Vietnam, right? And, like, so many stories that hadn't been getting told up until that point.
Yes.
And, I mean, you think of people like Arn Do that has really come on board and been able to shed some light on some things like that. And so many important stories. And I think that young people here would not even understand or have no idea of what had happened in the Vietnam War. And, like, I think it's a really important thing.
It is. And what makes us so different from other generations that have come to Australia is that we have come from war. We came on a boat, and it was a war that the Western world was quite involved in.
Yeah,
there's Chinese migration and all that stuff, but Vietnamese people are different because they've had to abandon their homeland to come to a new country and start again.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for parents who do come on a boat and try to adjust to the Australian culture.
Yeah.
You know, the Vietnamese tradition is family.
Yeah.
Well, in Australia, it's all about being individual and do what you want to be.
Right.
Yeah. And I was meant to, and this is a generalization, but I was meant to be a doctor. I was meant to have like a really great job to carry on my mum's great work of coming here on a boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I decided to trample over that and, you know, be a poor actor or comedian and tell her life story.
Yeah.
And my mum's like, where's my pay cut from that?
Pretty much. Yeah. Plus, that's the Asian, like the dream. Like you have to take care of your parents.
Yep.
You just get rich, be really good at what you do and just take care of your parents, yeah, or even your great grandparents.
But it's tricky trying to explain that you can still do that, yes, just at a different career path.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. Just don't put me in a nursing home.
Well, it can be challenging the other way because, you know, often, my parents, I think, and it happens with a lot of Aussie parents, like, it's just like you get lesser guidance because it's like, hey, I have full faith in you making your right decisions, go for it.
Yeah.
And be like, but can you please just force me to be an accountant or something? Like, so I don't have to think about this?
Well, this is my dilemma. I'm currently, like, at this moment where I get to do whatever I want,
yeah,
but I have this feeling that I will become my mum when I have children.
We eventually do. Yeah.
We get focused and then don't get focused by each generation.
I constantly hear my mum saying, like, things that I know that she can't stand about things that my grandma says. Like, and she says to me, like, all the time, like, if I turn into your grandma, just kill me.
Oh my
but
God.
But she's so close to her, but I tell her.
Like, oh my God.
And now I just turn around and say, that's the kind of thing Orma would say. And she just looks at me with, like, kill eyes.
Good timing you say that because I think there's a euthanasia debate happening. But anyway, let's not go there.
Do you reckon just like take mum out for dinner, take her along to the forum, see if she like, you know, makes sense of what I'm doing?
Spike champagne, it's fine, you can get cyanide. No, anyway, sorry, let's move on.
I think I was going to ask you the next. You've totally thrown me out, Jimmy.
That's great.
onto Zaliga. So we see you actually recently performed at the Adelaide Fringe Festival. Mm-hmm. All right, how did it go?
I sold out in Perth.
Oh wow!
Perth is quite fresh, so Perth people are like, I need to do something. So they go watch shows.
Yeah.
They don't care what it is. They just go watch shows, and nice. I sold out naked in Perth, Adelaide. I did 5 shows there. Yeah, had a great time there. Perth is really hard to sell because it's the second world largest fringe festival in the world.
Wow.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
Right.
Well, we're in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah. I always love the Southern Hemisphere tag. Like, we're the biggest in the Southern Hemisphere.
We've got the biggest IKEA in the Southern Hemisphere. Hey, and Chadston's the biggest shopping centre in the Southern Hemisphere. You know, yeah.
And people from Southeast Asia just come to Chadston and laugh. Like, this is you know, our suburb's the size of this. Anyway, you know what I mean.
Yeah. But I'm heading to Edinburgh in August.
Yes. Now, is that a first for you or have you done that before?
That's my first time.
And is that just the dream place to perform if you're in the comedy biz?
Not for everyone, if they want to spend a lot of money.
Right, yeah.
I'm doing it because there's something about the world coming to one spot and just killing each other and dying within, like, self-inflicting harm, that I'm really enticed by it. But I went to a Q&A with a woman from Harry Potter, Professor Sprout.
Okay.
I forgot what her name is. But yeah,
well, we can go with that.
Yeah, we'll go with that. She came to a Q&A that I was at, and she was like, if you're a theatre maker and you're a performer, you have to go to Edinburgh.
You just got
to
give it a go.
Put that seed in it and let it fertilise.
Mm. Right.
And you will feel rich and probably dead afterward.
Nice. Yes. Did she say that because she was the herbology teacher?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably.
That makes sense.
Yeah, probably. That makes sense.
All right, anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but
that'll be exciting going to Edinburgh.
She was on a bloody Harry Potter movie, so she doesn't need to go to Edinburgh anymore.
But obviously, massive exposure, right? Because the world watches Edinburgh Comedy Festival.
Yeah, well, this is the funny thing, though. Everyone goes to Edinburgh, but to have a successful average show, you just need 7 audience members.
Right.
To say that you've had an average successful show, yeah.
Yeah.
You're competing with 3,500 shows in 4 weeks.
I was going to say, there are a lot of different shows on at the festival here as well. Right? So what do you do? Like, because it's inevitable that one day you'll have a show that there's just too much competition. It's a cold night in Melbourne, you know, not Melbourne weather's like, it could just be 10 degrees out. No one wants to go. The rain's pouring down.
Yes.
And only a few people show up.
Yes.
And do you go on with the show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah. Even if there's like 2-3 people in the audience.
Back in my day, I did perform a children's show.
Right.
With 2 kids and 1 parent.
Oh, wow. Aww. That would have been challenging.
And there were probably 3 actors. So we were evening out.
Wow.
But I love that. I love that about theatre, though.
But you have to change it up a bit, right? So if there's only a few people in the audience, do you get down there with them or do you sit on the side of the stage or do you
carry the baby onto the stage?
They become the most special people in the world.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. And they might be a reviewer.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
So you can't go, actually.
I'm out.
Yeah. No, you can't do
see
that.
These guys.
But one of the great things about being a theatre performer is that I can my job is to adjust live, right now, right here, and you just see how my brain just works, and I love when my brain works.
Yeah.
Yeah. While on screen, you know, you can cut, you know, edit, whatever, but when you're in front of an audience and they've paid money, you have to do anything you can do possible.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Amazing.
To make them love you.
I feel
I love you.
I feel so evil now because I have been to a show in the past where my anxiety got the better of me. Yes. And I knew there was only a few people lining up. Yes. And then when the comedian went away, I ran out and I went. And it's terrible and I feel so guilty for it.
What do you mean you ran out?
I just felt like it would be awkward if I was in the audience and there weren't many people there. I don't know, because I overthink things. I can't just enjoy the moment. I'm like thinking if we're sitting there in the audience and he's going to feel like he has to perform for us, yes. But maybe he doesn't want to. Yeah. Like, so I didn't know how to handle that situation. Okay. Terrible.
Did a runner.
Terrible. I did a runner. I feel so evil.
Hit and run and
he actually would, so, and he actually supported this radio station at one point.
Really?
And then after he came in to represent.
Was it Josh Thomas?
No, I'm not saying. No, it wasn't Josh Thomas. But he did come in to represent. No, it wasn't Tom Ballard either. But he did come in representing a couple other comedians that they were doing an ad campaign. And I said, oh, so you're doing a show again this year? And he said, no, I'm not. And then I felt even more guilty.
What have you done?
That 12 months of guilt.
Oh,
terrible.
Hugs.
I know. Anyway, how do we get tickets to your show?
Go to www. I can't even say the W's.
www.
I'll start again.
The Dubs.
www.dineandawin.
Yep.
.com.au/naked or go to the Butterfly Club. Excellent. And our tickets are there.
Is it the first time at the Butterfly Club or?
No, I did a week run there last year.
Wow.
And that's why I thought, you know, Melbourne, I'm from Melbourne.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I do a show here?
Yeah.
And why shouldn't I sell out? But I'm not even selling out. So
you will.
Perth is the place, guys.
They will after the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Well, we can't wait to see your show. I'm going down on Friday night, so thank you so much. And, yeah, it's going to be great.
Yes.
Wish you all the success for this year's Comedy Festival as well as your stint at Edinburgh.
Thank you.
And everywhere else in between.
Yay.
If you like what you heard there, please like us on Facebook, fb.com/AsianPopRadio. We're on Twitter and YouTube, and you can download our app free via the App Store. Just search for Asian Pop Radio. It's available on Android and iOS.